As we're getting started, go ahead and grab your Bibles, your phone, tablet, however you're studying tonight, along with your family. And we're going to begin our lesson tonight. And as I mentioned last week, I do my best to teach, you know, and to stay kind of calm and everything. But, you know, when you're talking about the Bible and you're talking about God and talking about the gospel and the rapture, you just can't help but get excited. There's something about it that just should fire you up. And if it doesn't fire you up, then something might be wrong. And so, you know, not saying anything, but, you know, it should fire you up a little bit, get you excited, because Jesus is coming back. I said, Jesus is coming back for his church, and I'm so thankful that when he comes, when that trumpet sounds, I am ready to go. I want my family to be ready to go. I want this whole church to be ready to go to heaven. And if you agree with that, right where you're at, just say amen. Say amen. Praise God. I like how people right now during this time where I see people online on YouTube and stuff, and they say amen right there on the YouTube. And it's so awesome because it's almost like I can hear some of you saying that amen in service. So thank you for being engaged online, whether you're on the YouTube, the website, the Facebook. We thank you for joining us tonight. Again, Revelation chapter 4. You have your Bibles. That's where we're going to be tonight. Last week, we ended with the seventh church of Laodicea, the church of Laodicea, and moving, that was chapter 3. We'll do our best. We're gonna move through this. I probably will only actually touch on these two first verses, but it's going to encompass the whole chapter. And then, of course, we might end up pulling a little bit from chapter 5, a little bit from chapter 3 to bring in some context here. But this is where we're going to be tonight. Out of Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "After these things, I looked," this is John, "and behold, the door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, come hither, and I will show you things which must take place after this.'" And these are, I'm pausing and kind of emphasizing intentionally because it's important to highlight. He says, after these things, a door was there, an open door. And then a voice like a trumpet is what he heard speaking to me. And it said, "Come up." It said, "Come up here, and I must show you things which must take place after this." Verse 2, "Immediately I was in the Spirit." Immediately I was in the Spirit. "And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one, say that right there in your home, say one sat on the throne." Not two, not three, one sat on the throne. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about, we're going to spend our time in Revelation 4. We're going to kind of make our way through. But I just want to remind everyone listening right now and watching right now that there is still one on the throne tonight. He's not absent. He's not, you know, off on vacation. He's not in quarantine. He is still on the throne. And we believe that tonight, and we're excited about that tonight. Let's pray as we begin our journey through the scripture tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We're thankful for all the blessings that you've given us. You've allowed us, God, the ability to have church, even though we can't gather in the same building. God, this is a blessing, and we thank you for that. We thank you because we can partake of the meat of your word, God, and it's going to bless our souls, it's going to bless our families, it's going to bless our lives, and we thank you for it. Speak to us tonight. We're going to be sure to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So the first thing we need to point out tonight is that the Bible uses a lot of symbols. It uses a lot of imagery. And that's important as you're beginning to study through, well, just not just Revelation, but your entire Bible. That's a very, very important observation you have to make, is that The Bible we take as the literal word of God. And what we mean by that is we mean that the Bible means everything that it says. However, there are times when trying to convey a point, the Bible will use imagery, it will use types, it will use shadows, it will use metaphors, it will use parables. These are perhaps physical representations of something in the spiritual, or something to represent a thing. And so it's very important that we recognize that. It's a type of speech. It's a type of a language or a tool to convey a thought. I often tell students, you know, we get a lot of rain in Stockton during the winter months. We don't get a lot of rain, any rain really, during the summer months. And right now it's the summertime, and so it's really warm outside and dry. But if it were raining outside and I were to tell you, I'd go outside and say, you know, it's really raining cats and dogs outside. Well, immediately most of you would understand what I was saying. We have this kind of vernacular, this kind of saying here in America, raining cats and dogs. I don't really know where that comes from, but that's what we say. And what we mean by that, obviously, is that it's raining a lot. There's a lot of rain coming down outside. We don't literally mean that cats and dogs are falling from the sky, right? But we're using an example. It's a metaphor. It's a physical representation to explain something else. And so in the Bible, this does happen. But what you should always know is that that metaphor, that parable, that type, that shadow, that thing, that imagery is representing something that is absolutely real and literal. And that's always important to point out. The reason I'm starting here is because when you get into these first few verses, and not just these verses, but basically all of Revelation, you have to start seeing things through the eyes of John in terms of the imagery of what's being conveyed. And of course, we need to be careful that we don't take it too far. There are some theologies that you can take a little bit too far, like, for instance, the study of numbers. A numerology is what they, I believe, is what they call it. And this is the study that tries to attribute numbers, or a meaning rather, to numbers. And in some cases, it works out pretty well. But there's limitations on this idea of a study of numbers, right? We see 7 is the number of perfection. 3 is the number of completion. 6 is the number of man. This shows up in the scripture. But the problem when you try to take that too far, you end up with, well, what does 937 mean? You know, what does, you know, 1,212 mean? I mean, at some point, you're going to run out of meanings for the numbers. And so, although there are numbers that have meanings, we need to be careful not to take it too far. But in the case here in Revelation 4, we see an imagery happening. And this is why I'm pausing to kind of give instruction here, because what's happening is that John is seeing the event known as the rapture. But the issue is, at least this is the way I see it tonight, the issue is, however, that the rapture is not explicitly stated inside of this passage, nor is it really stated explicitly really anywhere in the book of Revelation. And this is very interesting. The rapture doesn't really show up. Probably the most obvious places, or at least where we would say is the clearest, is in Revelation 3:10. And then in this passage right here, it shows up in other places as well. But it's never really conveyed and on the same level as the millennium, for instance, or the second coming, or the tribulation. These events seem to be much more defined in the book of Revelation. And so one of the reasons I want to pause here is because I think this shows us a very good example. A very good example of why we need solid teaching in the church. One reason that I believe we don't see it explicitly stated in the book of Revelation is because the entire church believed in the rapture. They all believed that Jesus was getting ready to come back and take his church home. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us this in the book of 1 Thessalonians. You have your Bibles. Let's turn over there really quick. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, but concerning 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll give you a moment to grab it there on the media team. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, he says, you have no need that I should write to you. In other words, you don't need me even to tell you about this. You know what's going on. You've heard it preached before. You've heard this message. You know the rapture is coming. He says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. In other words, you already understand this information. You already have this built into your DNA as a church that Jesus is coming back. And so I want to pause right here just to encourage you that the teaching of the Word of God is one of the most biblical concepts that we see in the Scripture. It's the reason that we teach so much about the Bible. It's one of the main reasons, one of the main things, as a matter of fact, that God tells of a minister. He says that you must be able to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I believe, or 3, verse 2. He says you need to be able or apt to teach. That's crazy. That's amazing to me. It doesn't say must be willing or able to convert a soul, win a soul. It doesn't say that there. It doesn't say you got to be a good orator or be able to preach really good. It doesn't say that you got to be a construction worker, be able to put things together. It doesn't even say that you got to be able to balance a budget. It doesn't say any of that. But what it does say is that you must be able to teach. That's why as a church, we should thank God every single day that God has given us a pastor that is apt to teach, that has a ministry of a teacher. I thank God every single day for that because it's the teaching that's going to make your family strong. It's the teaching that's going to make your kids get to heaven. It's the teaching that's going to make you get to heaven. You can't be saved without the preached word of God. But here is a secret for you. There really is very little difference between preaching and teaching when it is done correctly. I said when it's done correctly. I don't know about you. I'm not interested in just a motivational speaker as my pastor. I want someone that knows how to preach the word of God. I want someone that can open up the word and tell me what thus saith the word of God for my life, for my family, for my kids. Well, I hope you're saying amen at home. I hope that you believe that. We should thank God every single day that we have a man of God that knows how to teach the word without fear and favor. That knows how to tell us how to get to heaven. That knows how to explain the word of God to us. This is a blessing from God. I just feel to camp out there for a second because that is a huge blessing from God. And I'm going to go a step further. We need more teaching in our families. I said we need more teaching in our family. We need more instruction in our family. We need more whys and less whats. Oh, well, I just said that. We need more whys, explanation, than just whats. Meaning, don't just tell your family, your kids, what to do. Tell them why we're doing it. It's not just, it's time to watch service on this Wednesday night. But hey, kids, it's time to watch service because we need to be saved. This is how we get to heaven. Well, I hope you're saying amen at home. Still quiet in the building. I'm going to get the media guys shouting here in a moment. It's more than just the what. The what will work for a while, but eventually those kids have to learn the why. The reason we are losing so many young people and young adults to the world is because we fail to explain the why. See, my kids are young right now. I can get away with because I said so. Hey, hold my hand, because I said so. That can last for a while. That's going to be okay for a while. But as they grow, as they mature, as they get older, that what needs to turn to a why. Why do we believe in this one God thing? Why do we only baptize in Jesus' name? That's why our Sunday school class, I don't want my kids going to a Sunday school where they're just babysitting and giving them cookies. No, no, no. I want them taught the Word of God. I want them to know that there's something behind the Bible stories. It wasn't just Noah's Ark, but that there's protection when you listen to the Word and voice of God. Well, I feel that in the Holy Ghost. They need to learn the why. And if you can put the why into your family, into your kids, you will train up that child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. But training, as the proverb says, see, this is the problem. Training is more than just a list of what's to do. Training also accompanies with why we do it, why we believe it. I know I'm a little bit off topic here, but I feel it in the Holy Ghost. We need to have more instruction in our family. It's not good enough, mom and dad, to sit your kids in front of the YouTube on Wednesday and Sunday. And when we come back to church, it's not good enough that we just send them to Sunday school class. It's got to happen at home too. It's not good enough that they only get an hour on Wednesday night, an hour on Sunday morning, and they never hear about Jesus or the Bible the rest of the week. That's not good enough. I said that's not good enough. The world has your kids for hours every single week. A lot of our kids go to public schools. A lot of our kids are playing video games. A lot of our kids are watching movies. They're taking in media. Think about how many hours you let your child sit down. Well, I am way off topic. I know. Don't worry. I'm coming back around. I'm in the Holy Ghost. Think about how many hours that you're allowing Hollywood and media to be poured into your kids. And then you drop them off at Sunday school and expect Brother Slapstick to turn them all around in 30 minutes, 45 minutes or whatever. Whatever we got with them, that's not going to work. I said it's not going to work. I said it's not going to work. We need more instruction in our homes. We need more teaching in our homes. And we need more support for the man of God in our homes. Oh my, I am all over it tonight. My goodness. You can't expect your kids to respect the man of God if you don't respect the man of God. How do we expect our families to buy in to our pastor's vision? Buy in to what he's calling us to prayer and calling us to fasting. And when he gets up and he says, hey, we're having an all-church prayer meeting. And then when you go home, your kids don't hear anything else about it. Talking about we need more instruction in our home. Where are they going to learn it? How are they going to find out? How are they going to know what to do? I'm talking about teaching in the church. We see it as absolutely essential that we have instruction in our home. And I want more of it in my life. I need it. You need it. We need it. I want to know what thus saith the word of the Lord. Someone say amen right where you're at tonight. So in the book of Revelation, I know I got off topic there, but you know, you'll forgive me. It's okay. You're not here to frown at me, so I just assume you're all smiling out there in media land. We see the imagery going on here, and so the Bible, in this passage, it doesn't explicitly state that it's talking about the rapture. But like I mentioned, it's almost as if they didn't need John to explain to them that this was the rapture. They understood that. They got it. And so the voice calls out to John, come up, calling him out. The posture of the rapture, a sign of what is to come. He says, come out, and come up here, come up hither. and this catching away, this beautiful time when we are going to be just going about our daily business, maybe just on our way to work, maybe on our way home, maybe sitting in a classroom, maybe doing something at the job, maybe on a plane. In one of these days, that trumpet's going to sound. And as John said, I heard a voice like a trumpet. And that trumpet sounds. And that trumpet blares loud. Friend, I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to the day that trumpet sounds. You know, when you're, I know how that sounds sometimes. When you're a kid, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, I used to hate preachers saying that stuff, you know. Like, I can't wait to hear the trumpet sound, you know. Like, I would always think, yeah, because you're like, you know, super old. You're 40, you know. You've already lived your life, you know, at 40, you know. Of course you want them to come. You've already lived your life. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you're 40 or 14. There is nothing in this world that is comparable to being with Jesus. I want to see my Jesus. And I know for some of you young people, you might think, oh yeah, but I want to live my life. Friend, this world has nothing for you. Heaven is going to be so much greater than you can ever imagine. And I wish, or I pray right now, that there's some Acts 29ers, some Lifeliners, even some kids that would start getting excited about the rapture, that would start getting excited about seeing Jesus. Because there's nothing in this world, there's nothing this world has to offer that's greater than Him. And I'm looking forward, I'm so looking forward to that day. And the scripture said in verse 2, I'm kind of bouncing around my notes right now, but that's all right. The scripture said in verse 2, He said, after he heard the voice, he said, immediately, right there at home, saying immediately. Oh, immediately I was in that. Let me just tell you, if you're waiting around to get right with God, if you're waiting around to get your life together, friend, you need to stop waiting. You need to get it done now, because in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're not going to have time to get your stuff together. You're not going to have time to get your shoes on. You're not going to have time to get life, to get that lamp lit and go to the market and get on. No. When that call goes out, it's going to happen in a moment. One moment you're going to be here on earth, and the next moment you're going to be caught up in the Spirit, and you're going to be looking at Jesus face to face. One moment you're going to be on the earth. You're going to be living your life, going through life. And the next moment, you're going to be with Jesus. He said, immediately. Oh, immediately. I wish, I pray that we would get this understanding of the immediacy of the imminent return and the rapture of the church. So much of life, we just think we have time, you know. It's like we go through our lives so often and we don't talk about it. We don't think about it. We don't think about it until we start calling people. You ever have one of those moments? I know you have. If you were raised in church, you know what I'm talking about. You start calling your family. You call mom. Mom doesn't answer. Back when you used to have landline phones. Some of you don't know what landline phones are. That's all right. You don't even need them anymore. Some of you still pay for them and you never use it. But you have a landline phone, so you call the house and it just keeps ringing and ringing. Maybe the answer machine picked up or something. It just kept ringing. Like, man. You call another friend. That friend doesn't pick up. Like, oh, man. Oh, man. You start calling everybody you know except for one guy or one. You know that guy's not going to go, so he's not trustworthy, you know. What happened? Oh, I might have missed it. And then, of course, mom picks up the phone. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I didn't miss it. We've all had that experience. You have that experience because you go through life and you forget. You forget that it was immediately. John said, immediately I was in the Spirit. Immediately I was from here to there. And it's going to happen in a moment. Friend, you don't have time to mess around. And I don't know if you're paying attention or not to what's going on in your world, but this world is coming apart at the seams. It could be in a moment. I think if one thing, this whole business of COVID showed us that God could take this entire world and flip it on its head in one single day. One moment. Nobody saw this business coming. No one saw it coming. It completely rocked our world. It threw people out of work. It messed up everything. And one moment, if you don't think God is ready, that God is, the world is poised for the rapture of the church, friend, you're not paying attention. You're asleep and you need to wake up. I said, you need to wake up. You don't have time to get things together. You're not going to have time to figure your life out. You're going to come to an empty building, even though right now the building's empty. You're going to try to sign on and everybody's going to be gone. All those people you knew went to Christian Life Center, they're all going to be gone. You're not going to have time to get your stuff together. I'm trying to tell someone tonight, we need to live in a way that we are ready to meet Jesus every single moment, every single day. I want to be ready to meet Jesus. Remember, I shared a story one time, an elder in my church growing up. She was talking about going to movie theaters, and she's told us, she said, You know why I don't go to movie theaters? She's talking to the young people. She said, because that's not a place I want to be when Jesus comes back. She said, that's not a place I want to be when Jesus comes back. I don't know about you, but when that rapture happens, I want to be working in the kingdom. I want to be teaching a Bible study. I want to be in an altar. I want to be in prayer. I want to be on a fast. I want to be doing something productive. I want my time to be spent in the kingdom of God. I want to be working while it is day, because the night is coming where no man shall work. I'm trying to shake someone tonight and say it's time to wake up. Oh, well, I know what the world thinks about it. They make fun of us, you know. They mock us, you know. That's nothing new. They mock Jesus too. Don't forget that. They made fun of Jesus. They made fun of Noah too, you know, building his ark. Oh, crazy Noah over there, building an ark. What are you doing building an ark? You're in the middle of the field, Noah. What are you doing? Not close to a sea. They had never seen rain before. Think about that. You want to know why the world mocks the doctrine of the rapture and why so many Christians fail to believe the doctrine of the rapture? I think I saw a study a while back. It was about 70% of Christians today don't believe in a rapture. Crazy number. Crazy number. You want to know why they don't believe it? Because they've never seen it before. Think about it. If they had seen a rapture before, it wouldn't be too hard to imagine, you know. Oh, but Noah, he said, there's coming a flood. Preached it for years. They said, a flood? Come on, you're in the field. That boat's huge. Rain from the sky, water from the sky. You're crazy, Noah. They never seen it before. This world's never seen a rapture before. They've never seen a taking away before. They never partook of that sort of thing. Millions of people across the planet gone in a moment. They've never seen it before. But friend, they're going to see it. I said, they're going to see it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be around to see it. I'm going to be caught up with the Lord in the air. My family's going to be caught up with the Lord. If I have anything to say about it, my wife, my kids, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, because we are going to be ready. And I want you to be ready. This church needs to be ready right where you're at right now, no matter where you're watching it, how you're watching it. I want you to lift your hands in the air and as high as you can get them and tell God, God, I want to be ready. Oh God, I've got to be ready to see you and to meet you. Go ahead, right where you're at, just call out to the Lord. Right where you're at, say, God, I've got to be ready to meet you. I've got to be ready to see you. My heart's got to be right. My spirit's got to be right. My attitude has got to be right. My motives have got to be right. My ambition has got to be right. Oh, God, I want to see you. I've got to be ready. He said immediately was caught up. We have to live our lives ready to go. I said we got to live our lives ready to go. Can't allow that spirit of Laodicea to get on us. We got to live our lives ready to go. We can't be so in love with this world, so in love with the things of this world that we cling to it. That our treasure's in it. No. You can have it all. This world's got nothing for me. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, will you also leave me? People were leaving him. Couldn't take the gospel. He looked at his disciples and said, will you leave me also? They looked back and said, Lord, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? It's you. You have the words of eternal life. Friend, there's a lot out there in the world you could go to, run to. A lot of books you can read, a lot of ideologies that you can buy into. A lot of groups that you could join, protests you could be a part of. But friend, there's one that has the words of life. There's one place that you can go to that'll be a shelter from the storm. Oh, there's a rock that you can cling to when the world all around us is sinking sand on Christ the solid rock. Oh, I love those songs. On Christ the solid rock I stand. I'm telling you today, there's one that has eternal life in his words. Jesus' name. One more time. Just lift your hands right where you're at. Call on the Lord. Jesus, I need to be ready. 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 Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't feel the need to move on right now. I just feel in the Holy Ghost. You know, there's nothing more important than being right with God. You've heard me say that before, but there's nothing more important than being right with God. If you're not right with God, then you are not ready to go. I hope you said amen right where you're at. If you're not right with God, then you're not ready to go. I got to be right with God. I've been praying this prayer so often lately. I need my mind to be right. I need to pray over everything of yourself. I need my mind to be right. I need my spirit to be right. You know, you can have a bad spirit. You can be doing everything right, obeying and listening, all that, but you're doing it in a bad spirit. You know, I used to get super frustrated when I was a kid, you know, because I used to have a bad attitude, you know. And the teachers always used to say, they say, Micah, do this, do that. And I'd go over, oh, whatever, and I'd grab whatever it was. And they would say, pick up, so I'd pick it up, throw it. I see my daughter doing this now, you know, bad at it. And they would say, do it again, or something like this. I just did it. They said, yeah, but you had a bad attitude. Used to get me so frustrated, you know. That's how we are with God sometimes. God tells us to do it. Go to church. Show up. Listen to preaching. And we do it. Yeah, God, I'm here. I got the YouTube on. So sad, right? We're on YouTube. I'm here. I'm listening, God. Yeah, you're there, but you got a bad attitude. God, I need my spirit to be right. I need my attitude to be right. God, I need my heart to be right. There's nothing more important than being right with God. And if you're not right with God, you are not ready to go. And someone saying amen. He said, come on up here. I need to show you things that must take place after this. Immediately, John says, I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne. Notice what he says. There was a throne sat in heaven. And behold, the throne sat in heaven. Go to the next part of that verse, if you would. And it says, and one sat on the throne. There wasn't two. There wasn't three. There was only one. I'm so thankful that I know the one who's on the throne. I'm so thankful that I know who's in charge. I'm so thankful, even though everything in this world might be falling apart, I know who's on the throne. I've come to remind someone tonight, God is still on the throne. I mentioned it earlier, he's not on vacation. He's not in quarantine. He's not isolated. He knows what's going on, and he's still on the throne. And you know what? This is more than just a position or a placement. And this is important now. Next week, maybe we'll have some time. I'm running out of time tonight. But when we start getting into chapter 5, the issue, the oneness of God starts coming into view. And there are people that have issues with this Trinitarian doctrine. And it's important to understand that this imagery that's going on here is that John is seeing what's going on in the spiritual. And he says, I saw a throne and there was one seated on the throne. And that right there is telling us that this is a symbol of authority. I said it's a symbol of authority. It's saying that God is still in charge. He hasn't lost his authority. He hasn't lost his control. No, God's still on the throne. Book of Psalms, a number of times, goes through and says, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. What does this mean? It means that God is still on the throne. It doesn't mean that he's just sitting there, not doing anything. It doesn't mean that he's just chilling out. No, no. The language there means that God is still in charge. It might look like there is no leader. It might look like it's chaos and no one knows what's going on. But friend, that's what it looks like in the natural. But what the Bible tells us in the spiritual is that God is still on the throne, which means he's still in charge, which means that there's nothing that passes his gaze. He can see you. He can see me. He knows what's going on. And let me tell you something else. God is always keeping score. Huh. One of my elders in our life, our bishop of the church, Brother Mullings, always comes by and preaches every year. We love Brother Mullings. I love it when always, and he'll text me once in a while. He'll say, just want to let you know. And he preaches this all the time. And he'll always say it. God's keeping score. And he says, and God keeps good books. You remember him saying in our church, he always says it all the time. I love it when he says it because what it reminds me about is that God's still in control. God's still on the throne. Even though it seems like things are going against you, even though it seems like that job is never coming back, even though it seems like your kids are never coming back to church, you just remember, God is still in control. We said it last week. I'll say it again. God is going to have the final say every single time. Because he's on the throne. He's on the throne. And I don't have to worry about the most beautiful thing about it. Is I don't have to worry about a trinity. No, 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 no. He said there was one on that throne. Huh. And this is why Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus is the one God. God manifest in the flesh. In him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm here to tell someone today, when you pray and call on Jesus, you're calling on that one that's sitting on the throne. You're calling on the one that has everything under his control. You're calling on the one that's ruling and reigning. You're calling on the one that can change any situation. You're calling on the one that all power is in his hand. There's power in the name of Jesus. We don't worry about, I've heard people, you know, when they come into our churches, they worry about praying to the Father, praying to the Son, and praying to the Spirit. All you have to do is ask the question, what is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What's the name? He only has one name. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, in all. And when we get to heaven, you're going to see one throne, and there's going to be one seated on that throne. And when you call on the name of Jesus, when you call on the name of Jesus, you are calling on all authority and all the power that is in heaven and in earth. I'm telling you, we need a revelation of that. This isn't some sort of, you know, incantation that we speak, you know. It's not a little magic word, you know, the, you know, hocus pocus and kind of... And it's on them, you know. No. But what you're doing is you're saying, okay, God, we recognize that you're on the throne. That means that you're the God over cancer. You're the God over disease. You're the God over sickness. You're on the throne. You're sovereign. There's no one that's greater than you. No one that's stronger than you. There's nothing that can defeat you. And we are praying in that name that's above every other name. And we are declaring that power over this situation. Why? Because he's on the throne. He's on the throne. He has the authority. I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. There's some situations going on in your life. You need to get off of your couch. You need to bury your face into the pew, the pole, of the floor, your chair, wherever you're at. And you need to start declaring the name of Jesus over that situation right now in Jesus' name. You got some young people, some kids that are going crazy in your home. I just feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. Mom, Dad, and yes, I said Mom and Dad. Dad, it's not enough that Mom's the only prayer warrior in the house. That's not enough. Mom and Dad, you need to go into that kid's room. You need to go get the oil out of your kitchen. You need to go anoint every piece of furniture in that room. See, I was raised that way. I still believe that stuff works. I still believe there's power in the name of Jesus. I still believe that prayer is powerful. You need to go in there and start anointing everything. You need to say, I command every spirit to leave. You are not taking up residence in this home by the authority of the Word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus. Take authority over every one of those spirits. You let those young people, you let that spirit into your home, that's on you, Mom and Dad. I said, that's on you. He said, oh yeah, but they just keep on watching those movies. They just keep on, wow, I'm all over it tonight. Wow. I feel something in the Holy Ghost. Getting up, all the Acts 29ers getting mad at me right now. They're trying to turn off the internet or something right now. Let me tell you something. If your kids run your house, you are out of the will of God. I said, if they run your house, you're out of the will of God. So I just can't get them to quit watching those movies. I just can't get them. All this. Why are you making excuses? You need to take authority over your home. You need to get every media device out of your home. You do whatever you have to do. You say, we're going to be ready for the rapture. This house is going to be clean. We're going to be ready to meet Jesus. Whatever I have to do, we're going to please God. And after you do that, you pray over that house. You pray over your home. You anoint it with oil. You said these kids are bought with a price. They belong to Jesus. They were dedicated at an apostolic altar by an apostolic man of God. They belong to God. You declare it over your kids. Well, I just believe it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right now, there's a mom and a dad that need to start interceding for their kids right now. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want my family to be ready. I want my family to be ready. I have authority with God. God's still in control. God's still in control. A beautiful message of revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That He's coming back for a church. He's coming back for a clean church, a church that has been washed, a church that's been washed in the blood, that's living a life that's pleasing unto Him, that's ready to meet Him. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make sure my family's ready. The question is, are all of us going to do what we have to do? I feel the Holy Ghost all over. This is where we're going to stop tonight. And I believe that God is ready to meet you where you're at. There's some moms and some dads right now. The conviction of the Lord has settled into your home. God's still on the throne. He's got your back. You're afraid of what's going to happen. You're afraid, oh, I'm going to push them out. I'm going to make them, you know, go further into the world. You don't worry about that. You worry about pleasing God. You keep that line. You keep the line and God's going to back you up. You tell them the truth. You would teach them the truth. You intercede. You pray. You do what you know you have to do. God's still on the throne. God will take care of the rest. But whatever, we have to be ready. Whatever I have to do. Whatever I have to do. I need my kids saved. I need my family saved. My soul, I've got to be saved. Right now, right where you're at, we're going to sing some songs and just kind of worship tonight. But right where you're at, don't turn the video off until you've prayed. Don't turn the video off until, don't turn the message off until you've made some commitments with God. Some things are going to be different. God, I'm going to start taking some situations more serious. I'm going to make sure my attitude is right. I'm going to make sure my spirit's right. God, you're coming back. That rapture could happen any moment. I still believe it, Lord. And I'm going to start living like I believe it. God, you're still on the throne. I'm going to trust you every day. Even though there's chaos all around, there's one on that throne. He's still in control. He's still in charge. Right now, as the music plays, we're going to fade a little bit here. But I want you to take a moment, take some time and pray. Some of you need to do some cleaning tonight. Some of you need to go through your home and start throwing away things. Media devices. Cleaning stuff out. Saying, we got to purify this house. We got to get ready. We got to be ready. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming! Oh, preacher, you're young. They've been saying that for years. Oh, I know, I heard it. I remember hearing when I was a kid, Jesus is coming, repent. Be saved. I heard it when I was just a child, 5, 6, 7. Jesus is coming. Repent. Be saved. I heard it when I was in college. Started preaching it when I was in my 20s. And you know what? The Lord tarries. I'm going to be preaching it when I'm 80. Get ready. Jesus is coming. It could happen any moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And I got to be ready. I've got to be ready to meet Him. My family's got to be ready to meet Him. And I want all of you to be ready to meet Him. Let's pray tonight. Let's ask God to speak to us today. God bless you as you pray with your family.
Say.